Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. This is God's Word. "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How big is God? He's infinite. He is not just really, really big. He is infinite. He is beyond limits. God is everywhere. Omnipresent. That means present everywhere. But God was manifesting his presence in a very powerful and special way here on Mount Sinai as he spoke to his people. And God gave the Ten Commandments not because he wanted us to have some guidelines to make our lives more productive, but because God was revealing himself and saying, these things are essential. These are not suggestions, they are commandments, and you are to obey them. Now, one of the consequences of God doing this is that it reveals the brokenness of not just the Israelites, but all people everywhere. God's law is compared in the Old Testament to a plumb line. You know what a plumb line is? When you're doing construction, you can have a string with a weight at the bottom. And that weight, if it's a good plumb line, comes to a point. And that point is going to point directly down, straight up and down with that plumb line, you can see. And the reason is because of gravity. You and I don't walk around saying, man, gravity's really killing me today. Okay? No, there's this constant pull, this attractional pull of gravity. And when we walk around anywhere on the planet, we are, thankfully, held down against the earth by gravity. Otherwise, it would be a real mess when people spit. Okay? Because it would just float out there until somebody walked into it. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, a plumb line, because of gravity, is pulled straight down. It doesn't go off to the side somewhere. It is pulled straight down. And if you are checking to see if a wall is level, you can check it with a plumb line, and the plumb line won't lie. Sometimes our eyes deceive us. Sometimes the juxtaposition of certain other angles can cause us to be a little disoriented, a little confused as to what's straight and what's crooked. But the plumb line does not get confused. The plumb line always tells the truth. The plumb line is the authority. So if I want to know, okay, did we get this straight? What would constitute straight? What angle does this board need to be? Is it real? Plumb line tells the story. That's the way it is with the Ten Commandments. That's the way it is with the law of God. And what the law of God shows us is that all of us are a little off kilter. Some of us are really off kilter. Some people are lying down when they're supposed to be standing up, all right? But the Ten Commandments gives us a very clear, unchanging standard. Doesn't matter where you go in the world. This is not a matter of civil law. Those are going to follow. God's going to give his people civil law. He's going to say, here's how you handle various disputes about property and relationships. That's a whole different thing. That's civil law. This is not ceremonial law. God's going to give his people a bunch of ceremonial laws about how to do this and how to do that with regard to worship. This is universal moral law. This applies to everybody, everywhere. And if you read through that and say, like the rich young ruler, oh yeah, I've obeyed all of this from my youth up, then you need to go on and read the Sermon on the Mount. Because when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you will realize that we've all broken these laws. So we're going to go through this morning and take a look just briefly. We could spend a long time on each of the commandments. If we spent, let's say, one morning on each commandment, you still wouldn't be exhausted again. All right? So this is just a starter when it comes to the Ten Commandments. But I want you to understand, this is God's law. It is perfect. It is unchanging. It is not an elective. It's not optional for those who'd like to go further. This is the standard, and this shows us that we all need a Savior. The Ten Commandments are God's law for all people, and they show us our need for a Savior.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The first commandment is this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God says the first thing you need to know is me. When it comes to my law, it's grounded in who I am. I am the Lord. I have done this for you. You need to worship me alone. When it says no other gods before me, it doesn't mean God comes first and all the other gods come after him. It means God doesn't want to see any other gods. Okay? When I sit down at the table, I don't want any mice before me. Okay? That doesn't mean I don't want any mice to get the food before I do. It means I don't want to see mice. Got it? No rats at the table. Nothing before me that is disgusting. And when God says no other gods before me, he's not saying I rank first. He's saying, I stand alone. You are not to have any other gods. There's to be no competition. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment is like that, but goes further, more detail. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, if he's already said no other gods, what's the issue? Because some people want to take something else that they have made and associate that with God in such a way that they can worship that thing. But in their minds, hey, you know, it's not really idolatry. I worship God, but this just gives me a sense of God being close. Let me give you what to some people would seem like a perfectly legitimate thing. I don't know what's wrong with that. Why would he speak against that? If I take my cross, a piece of jewelry, and begin to treat it like a lucky charm, okay? With this cross, you know, I just feel like if I rub it, it brings me closer to God. No, it doesn't. Having a statue of a saint on your dashboard doesn't bring you closer to God. It distracts you from what God says about his presence in those who believe. If you think that some relic, you know, they say that if you go to that monastery, there's an actual piece of the cross on which Jesus died. And people stand in line for hours to get to it in order to be able to kiss the glass case in which that relic is there. For what? Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, including the sin of idolatry. Don't worship stuff, not even religious stuff that you associate with him. Worship him. But by nature, we are idol makers. We want to have something tangible. We want to have something we can see, something we can hear, something we can touch, something to connect our senses with. We are sensual people. And God says, you're to have no other gods and don't make an idol out of anything. God says he is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Again, we do not have time to dwell on this, but I want you to understand something. If you don't get anything else about that, get the contrast. God comparing his hatred for his enemies with his love for those who love him and who keep his commandments. The blessing is far greater than the curse. Hallelujah. I am so glad. The third commandment is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Do not misuse God's name. This was a commandment that the Jews took so seriously that they generally not only didn't say the name of God, they didn't even want to write down the name of God. They would put in its place the Lord and say the Lord, because it was like, we're not going to say Yahweh. Even though God told us that's his name, we're afraid we might get it wrong. As a result, they didn't get it at all. God doesn't say, you cannot speak my name. God says, I'll tell you what my name is. But God says, but don't misuse my name. Don't misuse my name. Today we live in a culture where most people do not know God's name. And yet people use what they think is God's name in vain all the time. OMG. Why? Why do people constantly want to throw that out there? I don't know how many times I've been in line at Kroger and somebody has said, oh my God, about something. And I've said, really? That's your God? Which startles them, of course, because people are not used to having someone respond. I'll say, that's your God? Really? Doesn't seem like much of a God. Had one person say, I'll be damned. And I said, well, likely so, unless you repent. Okay? You know, people just don't realize what they're saying. They say things constantly with reference to God as if God just doesn't exist. God is real, and he has revealed himself to his people, and he tells people, don't misuse my name. But I'll tell you something. When we do things saying that this is what God told us to do, we are misusing his name unless, in fact, that is what God told us to do. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we do not misuse the Lord's name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This is a gift, not a curse. Jesus makes it very clear in the New Testament that this is not something that was supposed to make people's lives miserable. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field one day, and the disciples were pulling some heads of grain just with their hands, just pulling like that and rubbing the grain in their hands and letting the chaff blow away and eating the kernels of wheat. And the strict celebrants of the law, thinking that they were coming to God's defense, criticized what Jesus' disciples were doing. And Jesus didn't say, oh, guys, stop it. You shouldn't be doing that. They're right. It's the Sabbath. Don't do that. Jesus says, you don't get it at all. You don't understand what the Sabbath's about. And you don't understand what the law of God is about. But I want you to understand something. If we're going to put Sabbath into effect, when I was a kid, on Sundays, which was the day we celebrated as Sabbath, suffice it to say, most things that we thought were fun were not allowed. Okay? Couldn't play ball, couldn't go swimming, couldn't watch TV. How that would be work, I don't know. But the idea was, you know, boy, I'm, you know, this is really hard. I'm having to think about this Disney thing. Okay? I remember one time I was sick and we stayed home from church and I was really miserable. I asked my mom if we can watch TV, if we could watch Walt Disney, and she said, I don't think that's work. Turned it on. Awesome. God bless mom. But the idea is that one day out of seven is totally set apart and you are forbidden work on that day. Not allowed. If I say to one of our employees here at the ranch, you know, look, you've been working really hard. If you would like to take the rest of the week off, you go right ahead. Well, now all of a sudden they've got a decision to make. It's a challenge because, I mean, he said I could have the time off, and I think he means it. I can have the time off, but if I take the time off, there's stuff that's not going to get done. And I still, the reason I'm working so hard is because there's so much to do and I feel like I need to get this done. And boy, I mean, if I take the day off, then is he going to wonder when some stuff isn't done? You know, why didn't he realize he needed to do this stuff? I mean, that's really hard. But if I say to that same employee, look, I want you to take the rest of the week off. Don't show up here and don't go home and do yard work. Take the time to rest. You need the rest. Well, then I've just given a gift. Because it's not like the person has the option of saying, well, no, I'm sorry, but there's stuff that really needs to be done. There will always be stuff that needs to be done. If you're having to try and figure out what to do with yourself, there's miscommunication somewhere. Okay? There's always stuff to be done. But God commands his people to honor him by remembering that when he created everything, he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And every time we take that day off, we are worshiping him and saying, we know that God is the creator of all things.
We're going to have to take a break right now, but we hope that you're enjoying this Bible lesson from St. Andrew's School at Wares Valley Ranch. Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion on the next broadcast. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution to allow us to continue to care for and minister to children from crisis family situations here at the ranch. For more information on our ministry, please call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, wvr.org. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on Abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.